The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Stone.
Contact the best authorities. Check on anything that seems to be extraordinary, no matter what it is.
When you see something that's frightening, it looms large in the consciousness.
It is the middle ground between light and shadow, between science and superstition.
The Boogie Monster, podcasting the unknown.
That's it. We're back. We are networkless.
That's right. We're floating around without a vessel.
R.I.P. Starburns.
Yeah. R.I.P. Starburns.
A vestige of the time. Wasn't Starburns named after like a silly character from Community?
Was it? I have no idea.
Yeah, I think it's it's a character. But
was
also
Dan Harmon created that, right?
Yeah. But as we're sitting here, as we're talking about the days of stand up, like alt stand up, like bro comedy and crowd work comedy is the most popular comedy now. So as
why?
Our network from a, because that's what people like.
Who likes it? Why would anybody like
apparently a lot of people, Dave.
Jeez.
Apparently a whole bunch of people.
I don't understand that.
Given
at all.
What our social media numbers are doing versus talking about butt fucking.
Who likes anal?
Let's talk about it. Let's be that pot. Let's do it. Hey, where'd you put your dick this week, Dave? Where'd you get your dick dirty?
Seriously. Are there people who enjoy crowd work clips? I mean, I know what your answer is because they're everywhere.
How are you asking that question?
But
yeah, because
oh god, I don't get it.
You don't have to get it, Dave. It's popular.
Y'all dating? Who gives a fuck? Tell a joke.
You came to hear you do
your material.
You are. And somebody else doesn't give a shit what your material is. They want to see an interaction. They want to see something spontaneous. Fuck.
There you go.
It's the morning. I'm not even drunk. yeah, dude. Just because it's not for you doesn't mean it's not what everybody likes. I have a whole other podcast about this idea. But that's what's popular now, and you got to deal with it, man. Things ebb and flow. We are in a minority. We live in a world of bro comedy. It is what's popular and
y'all fucking,
you know, a lot of shit. Listen, buddy.
Who's fucking here? Raise your hand. All right, y'all are fucking. That's cool. I don't know how to do crowd work.
Poison was one of the greatest bands in the world in the mid-80s. Things change, Dave.
Mm-hmm.
Things ebb and flow.
They were one of the most popular bands in the mid-80s.
Yeah.
What did I say? The best. This is different.
That's my own opinion. That's my own opinion slipping through.
Unskinny Bop.
One of the best Unskinny Bop. A glam metal song about banging large women. And then a Nirvana came through and wiped it out. But then guess what? People got sick of sad teen shit.
Yeah.
And party music came back. It all ebbs and flows. But right now, what's popular is super broed out comedy. People got sick. And I could see, it was obvious that it was going to happen. And I'm not going to say obvious, but logical that for how many years were we steeped in like, so I am on diazepam and I have depression. And like that was your act, was just going over what's wrong with you. And so vulnerable. You know how many comics were like, tell a fucking joke. I don't give a shit about your problems.
Yeah.
Like being vulnerable isn't being funny. So brave. Who gives a fuck? Go be brave anywhere. But so we were inundated with that. Some people did it well. Some people, you know, we came about in the aughts, in the rise of the you know, comedians of comedy and Patton Oswalt, and somebody could just be a fucking dork up there and it was celebrated. And that was celebrated. Mm-hmm. Like I'm saying, Starburns, okay, from Community. from the show, isn't it? Or was it Parks and Rec where Patton Oswalt did a filibuster about like Star Wars and like people were like, oh, like nerds were celebrated and people got sick of that shit.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, I say it all ties in. Like, listen, it was Obama, it was Democrats, it was liberals, it was everybody's fine and celebrate your weaknesses. And that was all of that era. That era's over. It's Trump. It's right wing. It's like, say what you want. Uncle, man, it's just a joke. Take it easy. Hey, y'all fucking. That's the era we're in now.
Mm.
And it's more prevalent because there's more social media now than there was 15 years ago. So we're seeing and more people. Yeah. Crowd work clips. It's great. It's fluff. It's good. Hey, good for you. Milk the algorithm. Get your views. And then if you perform live, I still think it comes down to, like, if you perform live and it sucks, then great. You don't have what it takes. You're CGI. You're not the real thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I can sit here and look at, you know, stuff that I might not deem good comedy, but what is my vote count if somebody else is soaring through the roof and successful and doing sellouts? So, like, I'm not that fan base. You're not the fan base for it, Dave.
Yeah.
So.
Ugh.
I can't get mad at it.
Speaking of which, I got to call you on some of your bullshit.
Do it.
You know, we're pals. I respect you, Kyle, but I'm going to tell you, sometimes you're just completely full of shit.
Buddy, I know it. You want me to start?
All I've heard from you for the last year is new special's not very good. I don't like it. It's not good. Your new special's awesome, buddy. What the fuck are you talking about? It's fucking fantastic. I seriously was like going into it thinking, oh, I don't know, maybe he had an off night or something, because you whatever the opposite of buildup is, I went into it thinking, like, this is the one he's not happy about. It's fucking great, dude. What are you talking about?
You know how your first special is all the material you've worked on for your whole career up till that point.
Mm-hmm.
And it is or should be completely dialed in.
Yeah, they used to say in music, a band has their whole life to make their debut album, and then a year or two to make the sophomore album.
No, and that's the same with comedy. Great, here's all the stuff that you've had in your soul since you thought about doing comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Now here's the stuff that I thought was good over the last year and a half or whatever the time frame is. And that material, like, I was doing it after the special. It took too long to come out. So I'm like, I guess I can dip back into that well. And it was rewritten and done much better than it was when it was recorded for the special.
I get that.
And so I would rather err on the side of being overly critical of myself than being overconfident in myself.
Well, of course.
What the fuck is she doing over there?
What's happening?
Rachel's banging on a wall or something. But yeah, and so I will always be. And you know what? Maybe that's what it is. But I don't believe in myself 95% of the time. shitty comics believe in themselves 100% of the time, and that's why they can just upload these clips that I think are dog shit, but now the scene is flooded with them. I don't think people know what good comedy is. Good comedy and popular comedy don't overlap very often.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's why it's so annoying, because it's the dumbing down of the form.
But like, whatever. But it's an argument I give my friend. It's fast food, man. Some people don't want to sit down for an hour and a half for some gourmet meal. Like, no, give me a Big Mac. All art forms. God forbid we start calling stand up art, because we know it's not art. It's actually philosophy. If you really listen to the true, the true minds and voices of stand up right now will explain to you that it's philosophy. It's not art. Mm-hmm. Because there's philosophy behind anal. There's not art behind anal, but there's philosophy. You know.
Who likes cream pies?
There's philosophy there too. You know, that just stems from the confidence of either wanting to be a father or confident that the woman's on birth control. Like, it's an ego. It's the ego versus the id. It's, you know, your wants versus your needs. It's, it really breaks down. And see, right there, we've lost 90% of new comedy fans. Unless we go to an ad for, I don't know, brain regeneration pills after this. But I was always in your position, Dave, of being cynical at the shit that's popular. It's like, man, I just... You can't dictate what the market is. You can't dictate what the scene is. And if you just look... It's just like everything else, though. If you just look at numbers online, you can really think that, like, oh, shit, that's what's dominating all of stand-up. But those are just... But then go to a show, man. Go to Hot Tub and see that, like, oh, look at all these people. These people aren't wasting their time arguing in Instagram comments.
Yeah.
They're just people that are going to go and have a good time. And I hope they, I hope that exists in all the cities. I should mention Hot Tub is a show in L.A. Like, Dave, go into any Hot Tub in Los Angeles. And that's where the real, that's where real comedy fans are, in Hot Tubs in the Hollywood Hills.
Oh, man. I think I'm going to try to start manipulating the algorithm. I noticed so many of these dog shit clips have interesting thumbnails based on the content of said clip.
Watch how close you're talking about people.
You know? No, I'm just saying, like, if I... I just put up a clip the other day about my love of chocolate-covered almonds.
One man's dog shit is another man's brisket, Dave.
Could I put on the thumbnail like something like Buttfuck Brigade or Cream Pie or something just to kind of attract more attention, even though there's nothing about that in the content?
Yeah.
What if they let me do that?
It just, it just make the font, right, like comedian real big, and then and then in little letters, like... Has zero interaction or experiences no, and then heckler real big.
Yeah.
Comedian has show that goes fine. But people don't, people want the conflict right now. That's what they want. Or people, what, people that are loud on the internet. They want that. I think the crowd work bubble is going to burst. I think people are going to, I think it's so flooded right now. It very much is. You know, I like, I don't follow a lot of comics on social media, so like I'm pretty choosy about which ones that, like, which clips I go to. Like, do you know Zoltan Kazis? I think you say his last name.
I know. Yeah, I've never met him, but I see his stuff around there.
Dude,
yeah.
That dude just great. Like, he's one of those guys. Like, we can all pick about, like, oh, who's the incredibly arena famous version of ourselves that's out there? Like, give me a slice of that. Like, Zoltan is, like, definitely in the Bargatze, like, clean, but still, like, just a clip of his today where he's talking about, like, he didn't grow up with his dad. His dad's Hungarian and doesn't speak English and has never met him. And his girlfriend or wife is married. She's like, don't you want to meet your dad? He's like, no, he didn't speak English. It's going to be like a 90-day fiance date. She's like, she's going to be saying, why did you leave, into my phone, into a translate program, and holding it up to him. Like, totally clean, kind of dark. But super funny, and that guy's all, I'm like, and that's the guy I'm like, I'm rooting for that guy.
Yeah.
That's, oh, you went up there, with it, it's easy, you're not like, it's not like economy of words where it's, word, like, it's so precisely written, like it's casual, but it's not like me, I fill the space too much, that then it get hypercritical. But like, I fill the space with bullshit until I get to the actual joke. That's my sleight of hand with comedy. It's an hour special. It's about 20 minutes of material. But they're like, so that stuff's out there. And those guys, you got, those guys are also getting their successes too. You know, people are watching more comedy. That's a good thing, Dave.
No, it is a good thing, but
they might click on the crowd work clip. But that doesn't mean they liked it. That might just be like, boy, I fell for this again. Oh, what did it lead me to? More stand-up in my little column on YouTube? Who's this guy? Oh, that's actually funny. Oh, that headline. I think what's going to grab people more, or maybe, instead of like, oh, is this anal? Like, that probably drives away just as many people as it attracts.
Mm-hmm.
Versus, oh, that's, how is that a joke? How's this, how is, you know, rear differential versus the Fermi paradox? How is that even a joke? I better click click on that because I don't understand how that could be a joke. That's how you manipulate it. Put in even more interesting words.
Oh, 10 ways because, to start planning for retirement. This is a weird joke.
But then that's so for all the clicks that Do You Like Anal gets, they're not clicks. They're clicks. They're views, and it might put that video out there more, but it's just more people going like, ugh, this kind of shit. Mm-hmm. Boy, I'd like some other kind of comedy.
Yeah. That's a good point.
And I'm not being critical. This is the stuff I tell myself because I get in the same mindset that you get in about these things.
Yeah. Like, no, that's a good point. If it leads to them watching more comedy and maybe discovering different comedians they weren't familiar with, that's great. My concern is just the general dumbing down of like, oh, this is what's good. We went and saw Dave Stone, and he sucked. He didn't talk about anal or cream pies or nothing. What a hack.
But then you didn't want that person as a fan.
True.
This is what I tell myself. I don't want everybody.
No.
Oh, fuck, these guys in the Rogan universe, they got that Rogan bump. Good for them. Yeah. But also, are they loyal? Are they going to be around in 5 years? Or are they going to be just as fickle? God forbid you slip up and you have an opinion that they don't agree with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I do the worst. I don't take my own advice.
Mm-hmm.
I'll read the comments, but I don't respond anymore. Like, I know that's the mistake.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll read them, and it's like, anybody who's making a comment that's negative, I'm like, good. You don't seem like the kind of person. Like, again, it's exactly what's happening. Like, you're not my fan base. Who gives a shit what you think?
Mm-hmm.
Boy, this guy's not funny. That's fine. I'm not for you. You didn't have to make the comment. You could have just gone, oh, this whole world isn't built for me to consume and enjoy and been an adult and mature and moved on that way. But like that, I told you, I had my roommate who's like a cinema dude and would sit holed up in his room watching I got to find the name of the movie. Some like 3-hour opus, difficult to watch thing. He'd watch that once a week and get mad that Transformers was the number one movie.
Yeah.
So he's like, the same thing. He's like, because people are stupid.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, you eat Carl's Jr. 4 times a week, and there's a chef out there saying the same thing about you.
True.
So why let these things define us, you know?
Yeah. That's a good point. So, oh, man.
Yeah.
Well, welcome back.
It is frustrating. Yeah. Sorry, I'm taking all my sadness and rage and putting it into that.
No, I understand, buddy. Welcome back.
Thanks,
you've been
man.
In a different continent for, what, 2.5 weeks or whatever?
Yeah, I was down south. Different
How'd it
kind
go?
Of south. I mean, it could have gone better.
Yeah.
So...
You want to get into that?
As if anybody saw the post. I finally made one post, but yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Lil D, we sent her on, man.
Man, I'm so sorry, buddy. That really does
Thank
suck.
Thank you. Well, like I was telling you before, it feels weird to like be openly emotional about a cat at 46 in front of people whose parents have passed away. I'm like, I don't know if that's like... I feel like it's come, like, I'm like, it's not, I can have my emotions, but.
Of course. No, I wouldn't worry about that. Like, yeah.
But,
it was rough. That's a
it was
tough
a rough one.
Man.
She mm-hmm. was, it was time for her to go. We at least got the opportunity, well, obviously, to send her off peacefully.
Mm-hmm.
Or more peaceful than if, you know, her conditions had taken her.
Yeah.
And it was rough. I got back Sunday night and, you know, you look at all the spots where you expect to see them.
So this happened while you were gone.
Yeah. That upset me. Like that made me start thinking about some priorities. of like, oh, I'm looking at my calendar where I got every weekend booked up for the next 4 months, which is good, but I don't think I'm in the feast or famine part of my career anymore. It's like, I gotta start.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not like some corporate executive who's choosing to miss his children's first piano recital for a business meeting, but it's like, oh yeah, what about living your life?
Yeah.
I was thinking the other day, like, you know, oh, we're lucky enough to say that we're doing exactly what we wanted. So it's not really like we got jobs, you know. But there still is this, like, but what about all the things that I say I want to do or try? I'm like, well, I got to go this weekend. Oh, I got gigs this weekend. I'm like, oh, it is. I still love doing it, but then it's, oh, well, I said yes to work instead of, why don't you spend a little bit of this money that you've been earning over the last 15 years.
Yeah, man, you got to have balance. You know,
I'm like, balance things out. Yeah, well, that's why the Australia thing. Sorry, I know I'm kind of steamrolling this conversation.
No, it's all right, buddy.
But it's like I'm sitting in Australia. Melbourne's great. Melbourne, people come out. It's a festival, so they promote the shows and people come out. But I'm like, oh, well, put me in wherever when I'm down there. And I'm just, you know, I'm in Brisbane in front of 30 people. I'm like, nobody asked me to be here. Like, why am I going to places? Like, I had this whole plan for going to Europe this summer for 3 weeks of like, all right, man, it's Oslo. I got, oh, there's a place in Portugal and Lisbon. Yeah, let me put me. I'm like, nobody's asking me to go to those places. Why would I feel the need to turn travel and like, oh, you know, I'll go play London and I'll play Dublin.
What do you mean no one's asking you to go to those places? You could say the same about anywhere you go, no? I mean, I know sometimes, like, people reach out specifically.
I sell my own tickets here. It's not papered rooms. I mean, like, I can go and do a show, and people buy tickets to that show here. Nobody's buying tickets to shows in these places.
Oh, really?
Why don't I just go visit places, and then, oh, hey, you know what? Here's a stand-up show tonight. Maybe I'll pop in instead of, oh, yeah, I better frame this as a tour, but really I'm just great here I am in this city that nobody gives a shit about, you know, not that they don't give a shit that I'm in the city. Like, it's not, I should go where, you know, you go where you're wanted, or go where, like, oh, there might be an interest in seeing me perform.
But instead of like, you don't making know this that. Trip you to don't Europe, know but, that people don't want to see you until you go.
But I'm sitting there, you know, I was in fucking Australia and my cat's dying and I'm in front of like 30 people that just wandered into a comedy club. I'm like, man, this isn't how it's supposed to be.
Yeah, I know what you're saying, man. But
I
still think you're selling yourself short.
Yeah, but
you know, it's the old touring ethos. You know, next time you go, wherever, what city was that? The 30 people showed up. What city was that?
That was Brisbane.
The next time you go to Brisbane, you probably have 60 people there, and then the next time you might have 200 people there because you put on a good show.
It's not Milwaukee, man. It's not Milwaukee. It's 20 hours of flying away.
Yeah, no, I know.
But it's also, I'm going to build up a fan base because I'm going to go back there in 6 months.
Yeah, but you also didn't go to Australia just for that one show, you know. That would be
dumb. But I was just like, oh, cool. Like, oh, my knees hurt on the plane. Like, yeah, dude, I'm making the same mistake everybody does that I would criticize of people that just had jobs. Like, well, yeah, but when I retire, I'm going to do all this stuff. Really? Mm-hmm. You are? Because you're going to function the same way you function when you're 30.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, I'm just sitting here, like, still very feeling very grateful for things. But like, oh, cool, bought this new bike. Bought an e-bike because the fucking knees are bad. But it's been sitting in the garage for a month and a half. It hasn't even seen outside yet because I've been gone and it's raining. And I bought this van. So you could put the bike in a van and drive to better weather. But don't have a block of time for that because I got every weekend booked out until June or July. And it's like, Yeah, man.
Well, why what is about, that? Why is that? Because why do you think you overwork yourself?
Because the same thing, man. Feast or famine. You know how it is. If somebody wants mm-hmm. you to do a show, you say yes to the show.
Yeah,
because
I get that.
Because you feel the momentum of you. If I feel like it's laziness, if I start saying no, then I feel like that's like almost like some sort of like dry rot. You know, like all of a sudden, like, oh, that's going to start seeping into everything. None of us are guaranteed our popularity.
Well, of course, but you have earned the right.
Well, you can get it
after 20 years or whatever it's been. I feel like you've earned the right to pick and choose a little. No. Do you really sincerely feel that at this point in your career you have to say yes to everything?
No, I still pick and choose, of course. Mm-hmm. But also, I'm still like I was very lucky over the pandemic of like, okay, don't work. Think about the people that had to go from gig to gig. Like, when do you lose that mindset? When do you lose the mindset of like, fuck, man, I got to do the show? Because I got to remind people that I'm still alive and still good at this.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not there yet. Yeah, I don't know when you lose that mindset. I would think that when people
like,
are offering me... I think when people are offering... Well, I get that, though. I'm contradicting myself. Like, I understand it is hard to say no to work. But I think in my own mind, there's this fictional timeline of like whenever I have to stop soliciting my own work and it just falls in my lap, maybe that's when I can be a little choosier.
Yeah. I'm not taking dog shit gigs.
Yeah, I know that.
I'm not up to the next level though. I mean, that's still some frustration. I've watched people, you know, you're always going to sit there and be jealous and watch people pass you by, especially like we're saying, like, all right, if you want half the show to be the comic talking to the audience. But I think, again, I've said it before. I think that people get sick of that shit. It's Subway magic. It's not, the illusion isn't that complicated. In the moment, it's impressive. It's the opposite of a joke grenade. It's not funny on the way home. It's unfunny on the way home because you're like, oh, that wasn't that impressive. Mm-hmm. Somebody connected base level similarities a split second quicker than I can. But again, great. I'm glad that fan base, that's what those people want. I get mad when I think it's training audiences to expect that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Where, I mean, anybody with half a brain in their head would know that not all comedy is like that. Mm-hmm. Again, it's not a one-hit wonder, but I think it's a gimmick. I think the gimmick is actively being watered down by how many people are participating in that gimmick. Mm-hmm. There's people that dance on TikTok that are very good dancers, and I follow them because it's impressive to watch. And then there's people that dance to the song, and they got big tits, and good for you for this momentary time in the sun, you know?
What kind of dancers are you following on TikTok?
They're like usually like not break dancers, but like...
Like the street dance crews?
Yeah, like some of that stuff. Yeah, some of that stuff where I'm like, I don't even dance, but what you're doing is very good.
I'm just thinking, I have this image of you sitting on the shitter, watching, dancing on TikTok, just loving it.
Look, yeah, there's like this, Asian group. They all, these Asian ladies, they all dress the same. It's probably wigs or whatever, but it's kind of creepy. I like it when it's creepy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like when they try to freak you out with their dancing, that stuff I'm into. But good luck. I'm glad. I'm, you know, hey, you know, good job, big tits. Get your numbers. Feel good about yourself. You know, where? But again, turn it into money. Get money where you can get money nowadays.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Get it, and then, you know, if you're doing it right, some people, there's a lot of mediocre comedians that are great marketing people out there.
Oh boy.
There's a lot of great comedians that are dog shit at marketing. Mm-hmm. It's sad, but who's going to get seen more?
Yep. Oh boy! If I had,
and I think we're both too. We're too. We have too much heartness to talk shit about people by name, or maybe that's cowardly. People think it's cowardly. Like, we know who you're talking about. Just say the name, kind of thing. But that's what that crowd wants. That crowd wants to fucking devour and consume and shit out things.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they want, and I don't want to give it to them. I don't want to be on that level.
Yeah.
Keep my shit talking semi-private.
Our next partner is Athletic Greens, a.k.a. AG1. I've been taking Athletic Greens literally almost every day for quite a while now. I like it because it's so simple to do. As you know, my diet, my fitness, it's up, it's down. Sometimes it's just straight chaos. So at the very least, I can take a nice serving of Athletic Greens and know that I'm getting 75 vitamins, minerals, whole food sourced ingredients of the highest quality. Gives me major benefits like gut and mood support, boosted energy, even healthier looking skin and nails. Oh my God, you should see my nails. It's incredible. I'm sleeping better. It curbs my appetite. I take it as my little mid-afternoon snack. As you know, I've been doing the intermittent fasting. I try not to eat my first meal till around noon. I try not to eat after 8. Somewhere in the middle of my day there, around 4 o'clock, I'll suck back a nice scoop of AG1 with 8 to 10 ounces of water. No mixer, no veggies, no veggies to peel, to wash, nothing to blend up. You get all that pulpy, chalky, smoothie. Bleh. This is just one scoop of powder in some water. You shake it up, you suck it down, you're good to go. If you're looking for an easier way to take supplements, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. Go to athleticgreens.com/boogie. That's athleticgreens.com/boogie. Check it out. What I know it was the trip was dampened by your loss there, but did anything stick out? Like, holy shit, this
dampened.
Is a cool town.
It was fucking soaked
by
it. Yeah, no, I was just.
Did you have any fun though?
Here and there, but nothing. I mean, it's still. I mean, not to be melodramatic about it, but like, fun isn't a thing right now.
Oh man!
Like it's not like. There's
I'm sorry
not
to laugh.
Gonna
that's
be
just,
moments.
No, so
I'm already writing jokes. I'm like, I can't. I'm itching to go do jokes about it because that's how I process things.
Yeah.
Like, I already got joke. I mean, even before I left, you know, and she wasn't doing well. I'm sitting there like cleaning out the litter box. I'm crying, and then it's like clumping litter, so I'm like scooping my own tears out of the litter box. And I'm like, well, there's something. I'll put this in the notes. I don't know if it's funny yet, but it will be.
I know it's cliche, but it's true, man. You gave that cat, you know, a good life there at the end of its life, you know?
Yeah, we got from pauper to prince, man. That cat was honored and celebrated, and we're just going to be sad for a while.
Yeah.
You know? But that's why, again, it still feels weird. I mean, I know you went through losing your dad. And I'm like, but the cat, you don't get it, Dave. I'm like, I know you get
it. Yeah, no, you can't compare traumas, though, man. It's fine.
No. No.
It's fine, dude. It's fine to be sad about it. I'm going to be fucking crushed when that day comes for my little guys. I mean, I just absolutely adore them, and And I've already suffered, you know, real human loss, like you said. Mm-hmm. But it's not gonna make this any easier when that day comes for these guys, you know.
Yeah. You start looking at all the cliches that people say about their pets, and you're like, oh yeah, I get it. But it was tough because like we moved up here, the world was in a very uncertain place, and the cat was a part of this house and.
Mm-hmm.
So like, oh, so this is like the cat's house. It's not our house. So like with the cat being gone, it's like, I mean, it's like there's a wall missing from the house.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the house isn't complete.
Yeah. No, I get it.
Because that was a fixture of like, you know, yesterday was the first morning. We're like, oh, there's literally not in a dramatic way, but we don't go to day jobs here. You got out of bed to feed the cat and start your morning. And now you're just laying in there waiting to get, you know, screamed at or hear something putzing around the house and it's not there. And, yeah, I mean, you know.
Well, it's not, seriously, man, it's not you gave it a good life. You gave it a good life. And
yeah, thanks.
You know, like we talked about a while back, you know, when the time's right, you know, I'm not telling you what to do, but when the time's right, man, I'd go get another little critter and give that thing love.
Give I mean, a good life. It's not like we were ever going to have one. That's why it was this, that's why it was even more special. Nothing was picked out. It was just like, oh, here's an intersection that we all came to. And then that was, so that was the thing we did here. It's like, oh, don't, no matter what, like hanging out with the cat was a thing. Like, I could be doing this, I could be doing that, or I could just chill out with this animal.
Yeah.
And it felt like you were doing something.
Yeah. It's good for the soul, man.
Animals it didn't feel like a waste of time. It's like, no, this commanded cat wasn't needy. It wasn't codependent. It was, you know, I'd pester you if you wanted to hang out. But it was just a good, you know, it's a real loss of energy. So that's what I was going to say. Do you, like, we, okay, let's steer into a boogie monster idea. So you, we talk about all this goofy shit. And we talk about ghosts in a, like a, arm's length concept about like, oh, there's, you know, some people experience this here. Would you ever go to a psychic to speak to or communicate with people or animals that have passed on?
Katie did that. I think I told you about that probably about six.
Oh, you did. You were speaking about that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You did talk about
and
that.
I forgot, she wasn't just a psychic, it was, there was some other title she had given herself, but this lady claimed that she, while Katie was on the phone with her, this lady claimed that she was in communication with Katie's dead relatives, with her mom and dad and sister, and like, was giving feedback, was giving details that this lady wouldn't have known otherwise. So I've never done it, but I'm definitely not opposed to that. Like, I mean, yeah, I mean, the concept sounds pretty cool. If I could dial up some psychic or go sit in some psychic's shop and relay messages to my dad, that'd be cool. I'd have no problem with that. Now, you know, whether I'd have to experience it firsthand to whether or not I believe it to a certain degree, but Katie gave all kind of details that this lady relayed that there's just no way she would have known unless she was being truthful.
But see, that's the, like, I don't think I believe in the psychics.
No? Why
I
not?
Well, because I do think if it's like, I think it'd be like Whoopi Goldberg and Ghosts. Like, you'd be, your life would be haunted if you opened up, if you had that skill and opened it up, opened up that door. You know, I think it is. I think it is a manipulating the algorithm it, for the most part. You know, it's figuring out what people want to hear and giving. Not to negate Katie's experience. You know, I don't know the exact details and everything, but I think I'd have to like conduct my own blind test.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was the whole thing. Was it the Amazing Randy had $1 million on the table to anybody that could prove to him that, like, psychics were real and nobody ever claimed the prize? Like, nobody could ever do it.
Who's Amazing Randy?
Oh, he was this magician. Let's go to that.
That sounds like one of your old roommates.
That was Terrifying Randy. Amazing Randy. Amazing Randy was let me see what this whole thing was here. $1 million. Oh, it's paranormal. $1 million paranormal challenge. Anyone who could demonstrate a supernatural ability under scientific testing criteria agreed to by both sides. Based on the paranormal challenges of John Neville Maskelyne and Houdini, the foundation began in 1996 when Randy put up $1,000 to anyone who could provide objective proof of the paranormal. It went up to $1 million.
Huh. And nobody claimed
it. And people tried to. On Larry King Live, March 6, 2001, Larry King asked claimed medium Sylvia Brown, this is all from Wikipedia, by the way, if she would take the challenge, and she agreed. Randy appeared with Brown on Larry King Live 6 months later, and she again appeared to accept his challenge. However, according to Randy, she ultimately refused to be tested. And the Randy Foundation kept a clock on its website recording the number of weeks since Brown allegedly accepted the challenge without following through.
I wonder if there's some code of ethics that psychics have where maybe, like, my powers don't work like for monetary magicians. Gain. Yeah. Well, not for monetary gain, because they do charge people to do that.
Yeah.
But I mean,
yeah.
for a stunt like that, for some sort of gimmick or stunt, maybe there's some ethics behind. Mm-hmm. Like, no, I'm not a parlor trick. But, yeah, you would think that somebody would at least. Okay, yeah, I don't know. It's interesting.
I remember as a kid, Uri Geller was the guy. He's like bending spoons and everything, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And Randy met magician Uri Geller in the early 70s. But he viewed him as a con man and began a long effort to expose him as a fraud. And Geller sued Randy in 1991 for $15 million on a charge of slander. Because he told, Randy told the International Herald Tribune that Geller had tricked even reputable scientists with stunts that are the kind that used to be on the back of cereal boxes. The court dismissed the case, and Geller had to settle at a cost to him of $120,000 after Randy produced a cereal box which bore instructions on how to do the spoon bending trick. See, it's weird. It's almost like comedy now, like where you do a joke. Well, that's not like it at all. That's more of a trick where, like, I have a joke on my new special about saying bye to, like, nobody says thank you to pilots, and that's all pilots want.
Yeah, and somebody, I always say thank you.
Okay, well, I'm making a joke how people just walk off and ignore them. Like, they stand there, like, waiting for it. That's why they're at the door. It's kind of like you were their guest and you're being rude. But yeah. Then I did it, and somebody jumps in the comments like, this was absolutely stolen from this guy. I'm like, simultaneous thought exists. I didn't steal anything. I go and I look at this guy's bit. This guy's name's Nathan McIntosh, another guy that I find like, oh, I didn't know anything about this dude. He's got credits. He's been on Tonight Show and everything, but there's so much comedy right now. You're never going to know all of it.
No.
And it's so fucking close to my bit. And I had no idea. I never heard it. And I messaged the guy. I'm like, hey, man, before these, you know, internet goobers start yelling theft, I want to say that I was told about this bit. I have a similar bit. Yours is great as well. I just want to get out ahead of it and say, very funny. He was very cool about it. His name's Nathan McIntosh. And again, almost like Zoltan, like clean and like conversational, but like, oh, here's a great comic I just haven't heard of.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to know everything. So yeah. When people like the, I don't know, this is not related to what I'm talking, I realize I'm rambling.
Hey, that's all right,
but like
buddy.
there are people that will go steal bits. I mean, if we want to go down this road,
well, of course,
like there used to, I mean, now it's harder to do with the internet. Some dude I think he took his thing down. I called a guy, like I did there's like an At Midnight knockoff show from years ago called Comedy Knockout.
Oh, yeah, Comedy Knockout. Yeah, I remember.
It was bad. I was just more mean-spirited and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I was on it once, and I did it, like, weirdly, like, as a favor. Somebody's like, can you just go on? And I had writers, and one of the jokes, you had, like, you're just busting each other's balls, but in a way more mean-spirited way. And I think I said Josh Wolf looked like Daniel Tosh with AIDS. But now, before I continue, you can agree that that's not an original insult.
No, that's a Mad Libs type joke. You know,
it's a schoolyard thing. Like, oh, you look like the version of this guy. You either if you're fat and look like somebody, you look like you ate so and so.
Yeah,
if you're skinny version of somebody, you look like so and so with AIDS. Mm-hmm. Those are the two directions you go if somebody looks like somebody else, but there's a size discrepancy. And this guy apparently was on the on a popular comedy I don't know how to say it. He was on a Kill Tony podcast, which I don't watch, but apparently you do your open mic set, and then Tony Hinchcliffe gets to judge your comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Leave that out there. And comedians watching other comedians, like in a judgment sense, fucking do your shit talking at the back of the room, but God forbid you put yourself in a position to judge. Whatever, it's a very popular show. People love it. Mm-hmm. Again, it's not my thing. It's popular. It can speak for itself. This guy said that about Tony Hinchcliffe, that he looks like Daniel Tosh with AIDS. Never heard it. Never watched a thing. Both dudes could look like Daniel Tosh, a famous person. I think Josh Wolfe looks more like Daniel Tosh than Tony Hinchcliffe does. Mm-hmm. But so this guy, this shit happened in the mid-teens. The mid-20-teens. Mm-hmm. He messages me on Instagram, like, oh, do you have, is this a case of simultaneous thinking? And I think I was in a spicy mood. I'm like, I remember telling him, like, man, if I was going to steal a bit, I'd steal something better than Daniel Tosh with AIDS.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just kind of being like, come on, buddy. This isn't, that's not a bit. That's not like I sat here and came up with an original thought. It's an aside.
Yeah. It's a zinger. It's a one-liner, just throwaway joke.
But so that's what I thought. And I think his thing happened in 2015. I said my thing in 2017. This guy messaged me 2 years ago about it when I was like, you know, like whatever. I'd steal, if I was going to steal a bit, I'd steal a better bit than this. Then a video pops up a few weeks ago where he's like, is this a stolen? Did Kyle Kinane steal my joke? And like, my man, we are 6 years out of this issue.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't know how. Okay, that was something that was bothering me. I don't know how I got there from Amazing Randy and Yuri Geller. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I don't know how we got to this point.
Hey, man. Welcome back, buddy. You're free to ramble. Okay. You're free to ramble.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know, it's amazing,
But calling shit out like that, I guess it was going like calling shit out where it's like, oh, you have no awareness of comedy if you think this is a stolen thing. Now, the other guy, we're like saying goodbye to the pun, like, yeah, you travel every weekend. You're on a plane every weekend. So you get, if you write, I forget who said that about like comedians who just start working the road. Mm-hmm. That's when they're set is airports, hotel rooms, because that's what you're in every weekend. That's your environment. You write what you know. So it is. And fuck, it's such a similar bit, too. And I told
well,
that
parallel thought is McIntyre. A real thing.
Parallel thought
is a legit thing.
You know, and you're on, say you got to take two flights, you know, like Portland, I almost always have to transfer. I'm taking four flights a weekend. So four times you walk off a plane within 3 days and you see a bunch of people not say thank you to a pilot. Like, oh, maybe that's a funny thing. We say that. Again, nobody's saying Seinfeld cracked the code on an idea.
Mm-hmm.
It's observational comedy. If you have eyes and ears and you're living a similar life to somebody, you're going to be observing the same things.
Yeah. And also, there's a difference between stealing a joke and not even parallel thought, but I've been accused of stealing jokes because I address the same topic as another comic. The premise is different. The punchline's different. But, oh, you stole that from so-and-so. He's got a joke about chicken. Yeah, okay. I'm sure he probably does have a joke about chicken, but mine's a different premise and a different punchline.
Everybody talks about food, stole it from Jim Gaffigan.
Yeah, well, exactly.
But that's internet bullshit, because that's like, and it's funny because I've done shows for the hard times. I think they're funny, but they like made some Dropkick Murphys joke, like a similar one to mine. And I kind of like on St. Patrick's Day, and I just went on their thing. I'm like, come on, guys, I got to this one this morning. Being like, oh, I know you guys. It'll be funny. And somebody's like, fuck, clout chasing internet. Ugh. Good for you. You did it first. Which is, I wasn't trying to be a dick. I know those guys. Mm-hmm. I was just being silly with them. But nobody knows that relationship. But it's also the same as like somebody, a stranger yelling out theft on the internet. I'm like, you don't understand comedy enough to start saying this shit.
Yeah, exactly.
But boy, it gives people's little lives some interest when they can be the one that uncovered this heinous crime. I mean, that was the whole Mencia, Rogan, Ari Shaffir thing,
mm-hmm.
where it's like, oh yeah, the several instances of people claiming joke theft, where it's like it's not that great of an idea.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, we got to build a wall between here and Mexico. Who's going to build the wall? You got how many late night writers writing jokes every night about current events? That joke was going to happen.
Yeah, absolutely.
That joke was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Mencia one where it was like, what, like, oh, you do all this effort. It's very similar to the Cosby bit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Mencia's like a great comic, but I don't know if it was stolen as much as, oh yeah, this kid, you know, the dad trains him to do football. At the end, it says, hi, mom. That's what that, mm-hmm. you know, that was the thing. Like, that's like the, I'm going to Disneyland afterward. Like, that's,
mm-hmm.
it's not such an incredible bit that it's not like, oh, you watch enough comedy, you'll get to that route eventually.
Although I wouldn't put it past old Mencia to do that. I think he even admitted, like, yeah, I'm going to steal you. If I don't know you and you're doing something funny, I'm going to steal your shit. I don't know if that was just an embellishment, but
I almost wonder if he was just leaning into it. Like, I'm a villain? Mm-hmm. Fine, I'm a villain. Like, was just like, mm-hmm. fine, fuck it, come at me. I'm done with this shit. It didn't look good, but I think it was more if he just said, like, fuck, yeah, you watch comedy every night of your life, and unless you're like, this is a thing that happened to me, if you're just sitting back and watching the news or watching the world go by and trying to write bits on it, it's gonna be the 1,000 monkeys on typewriters are gonna get, you're gonna get something out of them eventually.
Kind yeah, of true.
Especially speaking of current events, with 1,000 bits, with 1,000 videos a day of comedy coming out.
Yeah,
yeah.
Speaking of current events, you threw away all your Bud Light.
I shot it, dude.
We don't do current events too much here, but I gotta just point this out. Just to be clear, Travis Tritt and all the other dipshits, they're upset. Why? Because Bud Light shut down all their American breweries and put a bunch of people out of work? No. No.
Everybody knows. Yeah.
Like, what they're a gay, stupid fucking thing to be outraged about. You fucking morons.
Buddy, don't play into it. You're falling for it, Dave. You're outraged at their outrage. You're falling into the trap they're falling into.
Fucking idiots.
Yeah.
Fucking morons. But
being outraged at their outrage, it's all the same trap. That's the stepping back thing I got to do when I start getting like spicy on the internet about something.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, nope, joke first. Make the joke first.
Yeah.
Be funny first. Not be mad because somebody's mad, because somebody's stupid, because somebody's gay, because all this stuff.
But that is scary that's a lot of our population's mm-hmm. point of view is.
I don't think it's a lot. That's
fuck that.
Oh,
yeah,
God,
you're right.
Dave. It's like I'm talking to my mom right now. The internet's not the world. The internet's not the real world. It's like I'm talking to myself. I have to tell myself that.
No, but I grew up in an environment where 90% of the people that I knew at certain points in my life do think that way. And it's like, God damn it. Somebody get me out of here. Surrounded by fucking idiots.
You sell a 12-pack of Bud Light for $8 and a 12-pack of Coors Light for $13, and you see who's mad at transgender people then.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Are you $5 worth of angry? Or however much the price difference is? Are you that angry? Or do you like having a couple extra bucks in your pocket? Nobody's truly that mad. They're going to fucking forget. You know what? They're going to forget now till Memorial Day. Mm-hmm. When sale prices are on and they're having a barbecue and somebody's like, oh, you bought the gay beer? Like, the gay beer was $3 cheaper.
But of all the things to legitimately, all the products to legitimately be upset about and to threaten to boycott, like with legitimate issues, you know, like I said, made the example of, you know, sending. I get, you know, the fact they shut down the factory and now my dad's out of work and, you know.
Yeah.
But you're upset because they did a Instagram collaboration with a trans person. Okay.
Yeah,
go fuck yourself.
This is manufactured outrage.
Mm-hmm.
You're playing into the manufactured outrage.
Mm. Yeah, I'm the problem. Kid
Rock doesn't like something? Fuck. I'll go drink six Bud Lights tonight. Do you think Bud Light's not sitting back like, thank God Kid Rock gave us the best advertising we didn't have to pay for?
Yeah. Ugh.
I love this conspiracy theory that's come up. Unrelated to anything, but just like what outrage and everything. I got whatever my clips are up for my special, and one was, I just mentioned, it's part of a longer bit about autistic kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I mentioned that Greta Thunberg's autistic and this and that. Mm-hmm. And people piled on that one. But now this is the one that I keep seeing come up like repeatedly, like bots are posting it. Like, well, if climate change is real, why are banks lending 30-year loans to coastal properties? Like, I've seen that repeated almost verbatim so many mm-hmm. times. And I don't know where the source is that put that thought out there of like, why would banks... And here's the easiest thing. Like, well, first off, banks have just shown that they will always be bailed out. A bank is not going to fail because government will bail them out. So
mm-hmm.
also, if your property is insured, now maybe I'm wrong on this. What does the bank give a fuck if your house gets destroyed?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You have to have home insurance. Home insurance.
Mm-hmm.
So, climate change ruined my house. Well, insurance is going to pay it out, and you're going to take that insurance, and you're going to pay your loan back. It's like it was weird that I saw it pop up everywhere. Like some podcast, dude, that was some new conspiracy theory that climate change isn't real because banks will loan you 30-year, will give you 30-year loans on coastal properties.
Mm-hmm.
Because we should definitely get behind banks because they've made great choices.
Yeah, got to look out for their interest.
But that was just a new one that I saw. That was a new conspiracy theory to throw in the mix.
Yeah. I want to change gears real quick and apologize about something. You know, Kyle, as I get older, I realize that, you know, part of being an adult and a quote-unquote man, not that it's gender-specific, but just being a, reasonable adult is admitting when you're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not easy sometimes to admit when you're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm here today to say that I've talked a lot of shit about Taco Bell in the past. And I got to give them their props. Or as the kids say, I got to give them their flowers.
Oh, is that
the
a thing?
Cinnabon Delight is the best fast food dessert on the market right now and any market for the past few decades. I can't remember a time that I've enjoyed a fast food sweet treat as much as the new Cinnabon Delights. And Kyle, they're little cinnamon donut holes.
All right.
With the delicious Cinnabon icing injected in the middle.
You like Cinnabon. You don't like Taco Bell. You like Cinnabon.
This is one of the best fucking things I've ever had in my life. They come in...
Bring it
they
up.
Come in two, they come in 2-packs and 12-packs. I don't know who they're fooling with that 2-pack. I don't know who can just eat 2 of those things. And I'm not even a big cinnamon guy. Cinnamon's fine. I like a cinnamon roll, you know. But these little fuckers... They remind me of like the little mini fried donuts you get at the county
right,
fair.
I'm looking at them right now. Yeah.
If it was just the mini cinnamon fried donut ball, just that would be because it doesn't taste like fast food. Like it's got like a real freshness to it. But then you add in a little squirt of that fucking Cinnabon icing, dude.
Well, I could see how somebody could only order 2 because the only other option is 12.
Well, you get 12 and you eat half now and you eat half an hour from now.
Yeah. Well, first off, Dave, I like that you came around. Did you get other items? Or you just went to Taco Bell for dessert.
Katie likes Taco Bell. And that's been a bone of contention in our relationship from day one, but we're working through that. But she got some of those Cinnabon Delights, and boy, did she make a fool out of me. Did I have to eat crow? Or donut, rather.
I think...
It's delicious.
Yeah, I mean, the
Kyle.
Desserts, because the desserts, I think, are all, like... All you got to do is pop those in a fryer, it looks like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And sprinkle them. So they're going to be good.
They're so good.
They still got cinnamon twists on the menu. I didn't know that.
Yeah, those have always
cinnamon
been.
Cinnamon twist does. Yeah, they're nothing special.
You like styrofoam with cinnamon on it? Go ahead.
I mean, again, you have to manage your expectations. You're going to Taco mm-hmm. Bell. Taco Bell, mm-hmm. listen, they're the only thing open around here. I will stand by the fact that it's no Del Taco, but...
No.
They do... Maybe it's because my options are so limited out here, mm-hmm. but they do right by me. They clearly mark their veggie things, mm-hmm. and their veggie things aren't some bullshit, oh, hand job's not cheating on your wife kind of thing. Like, it's legit food. Like, it still tastes like real food, and I'm happy to get it.
She's wearing a glove, so she didn't technically touch anything.
It's like when I go to a restaurant, I'm like, I'll get the veggie burger. And it's like, just call me a bitch to my face. Oh, it's hand-caressed bean patty with sprouts and a vegan cheese mist. I'm like, I still want all the burger stuff. I just don't want the meat. Give me all the bullshit. I'm eating a burger. I want it to be bad for me. I just don't want the meat patty in there. Fucking give me a cheeseburger, take out the burger, and that'll still be better than the made-up shit. But they got Mexican pizza back on the menu. Mexican pizza, what a sloppy treat that will never, ever look like the picture. Mm-hmm. Because God forbid you tilt that thing at a 2-degree angle in its little box. Mm-hmm. That shit slides off into the corner of the tray, and that's the best bite you get, is you scoop all the toppings up with one fork and put it in your mouth. Black bean chalupa, you bet your ass. Fiesta veggie burrito. Oh, the bean burrito? That's a classic. Extra chopped onions for me. Man, I'm hungry now. I'm not going to get Taco Bell in the daytime because I'm 46. But.
Kyle, I had another wonderful food experience this week that I have to share.
Was it something that surprised you?
No, just something that brought me back. I often forget. We don't talk enough about chicken salad. Not a chicken salad, but chicken salad.
I think we just did talk enough about chicken salad. How much more do we have to talk about chicken salad?
I've always loved a good chicken salad with the mayo. Here's what I did, though. Here's what I did, Kyle. I had smoked chicken salad. My beloved Bloodsoe's makes the best smoked chicken in town. I love smoked, not barbecue chicken. Some people bake chicken and slather Kraft barbecue sauce on it and call it barbecue chicken. I'm talking smoked chicken, chicken that has been smoked over wood. It's so fucking good. So I got a whole chicken the other day, and I ate all the dark meat. I'm not a big fan. We've talked about this ad nauseum. Not a fan of the white meat. That's just big chicken propaganda. Brainwashing the general public that somehow white meat is superior to dark meat. That's a bunch of baloney.
We know this is a dark meat podcast.
But I took the chicken breast and chopped it up, you know, nice and fine. Threw it in a bowl, added some Duke's mayo, added some diced green onion, and hit it with a little Tony Chechery's Creole seasoning. Oh, boy, Kyle. Smoked chicken salad. Yeah. Yeah, girl.
I love meat in a salad. I mean, I'm always strange about the word salad. I know salad means tossed kind of thing.
Yeah, no lettuce involved in this. Just, you know,
I know. I always love a chicken salad, a tuna salad.
Oh, man.
Egg salad, macaroni salad.
And I had it in two different forms. I had one piece of sliced loaf bread, so I just made a little half sandwich, enjoyed that, and then I got me a sleeve of Ritz crackers. Some smoked chicken salad on a Ritz cracker.
Sleeve.
Get out of here, dude. The fuck out of here.
Sleeve of crackers.
Hey, it's me, Dave. Quick question. Who's planning to do some spring cleaning this year? You gotta clean your home. You gotta dust those hard-to-reach places. You gotta clean out that closet. You know the one I'm talking about. Here's my advice. Clean your house, then protect every inch of it with SimpliSafe Home Security. I recommend it to everyone. Here's why I like it. First of all, so simple to use. Very user-friendly. The setup was a piece of cake. I downloaded the app about 30 minutes later. I'm up and running, protecting my whole home. SimpliSafe is designed with cutting-edge technology and backed by 24/7 professional monitoring. In an emergency, agents use Fast Protect technology only from SimpliSafe to capture critical evidence and verify that the threat is real so you can get priority police dispatch. 24/7 professional monitoring service costs under a dollar a day, less than half the price of traditional home security systems. You can lock and unlock your doors, access your cameras, and arm and disarm your system from anywhere. CNET named SimpliSafe Editor's Choice for 2023. Here's what you do. Customize the perfect system for your home in just a few minutes at simplisafe.com/boogie. That's SimpliSafe, simplisafe.com/boogie. Go today and claim a free indoor security camera plus 20% off your order with interactive monitoring. That's simplisafe.com/boogie. There's no safe like SimpliSafe. Another random thing I wanted to share real quick. I've been still on my big movie kick, even though not as much now that the Braves baseball's back. So that's very exciting. So I'm pumping the brakes a little bit on some movies. But I talked shit a few months ago about how I didn't. I was bored with the movie Chinatown. I rewatched that, and now I get it. Fantastic movie. Great story. I must have been high, not paying attention the first time.
Oh, yeah. It's intense, man.
Yeah. Really enjoyed that. Great movie. Oh, I watched an old movie I'd never seen before. I think you might like. This is what else I've been doing. I've been trying to like get into genres and types of movies that maybe I've always ignored or rolled my eyes at. You know, just I think it's the generation we're in that I know a lot of people. It's hard for people to watch movies outside of what they grew up on. You know, if you're born in the 70s, you don't care about movies that were made in the 40s and 50s.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Born in the 90s, you don't give a shit about the great 70s movies, what have you. But I went back, I never seen this, but I watched Treasure of the Sierra Madre with Humphrey Bogart. And that was a good one. Yeah, real good. I think you would enjoy it. He's just kind of a loner, I don't know if he's full on like an unhoused dude, but just he's kicking around in some little town in Mexico and just working odd jobs and maybe living on the street. And basically, he hooks up with this guy, this old dude who knows where some treasure's at. And the hunt ensues and all kind of drama and action and hijinks. Really enjoyed that. And then one last thing.
Hijinks?
Some hijinks, some good drama.
It's got some hijinks.
Although Humphrey Bogart's character, I will admit, a little annoying in that he's one of these like paranoid criminal. Like, you know, he's just, if I turn my back on you, you're going to try to kill me and take all my money. Just like everybody in his field of vision, he's suspicious of.
Yeah, I think there's less nuance in some of those older movies because like some of that is coming from the stage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like much more bigger and more theatrical presentations. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're right. Not a lot of nuance. Everything's kind of over the top. Mm-hmm. But still, very entertaining movie. And then one last thing. I rewatched Mulholland Drive, the David Lynch movie, in hopes that I would finally understand.
Watch that. Yeah.
I've seen that movie 3 or 4 times, and I don't get it. There's a lot going on. It's confusing. I mean, I try to watch some of that more weirder art house stuff, but I mean, the acting's great. I like Naomi Watts. She's great in it. But however, now I may be full of shit, but I think I spotted a ghostly orb in that movie that was had nothing.
Oh, you saw something weird in a David Lynch movie, did you?
No, but I'm serious. I know I walked right into that one. But I don't think it was added in. Now, it could be just like a weird reflection or something, but it kind of looks like a ghostly orb, and I've got a timestamp. If anybody gives a shit, go back and watch Mulholland Drive at the hour, 31 minute, and 28 second mark when they're knocking on the door of this apartment. There's like a little floating orb that it's kind of floating, and then it like juts off. It zips off out of frame. So it could be some weird reflection camera lens thing, but it also looks like a classic like orb that you see, you know.
Okay. You know, yeah. Security classic orbs. The clearly proven.
Yeah.
Proven untrustworthy source of paranormal.
But yeah, hour 31 minutes and 28 seconds. I'd love for someone to give me a second opinion on that and see what you think. So chime in, holler at us, whatever, on social media. Let me know if I'm full of shit or not. But it kind of looks like an orb, and it didn't look like – it had nothing to do, you know, with the story or anything. And, I know, something weird in a David Lynch movie. How about that? But I don't know. I may have spotted something there. So a lot of movies lately.
Well, yeah. All right. Well, yeah. Go look. Go watch the David Lynch movie. See if you see something out of place.
Yeah. But yeah, man, check out Treasure of Sierra Madre next time you're in the mood for like an old classic. And Chinatown. Man, Chinatown. I really enjoyed it. I don't know what I was thinking that first time. But yeah, it's some crazy twist. Not the full story, but like there's a twist towards the end where you're like, oh my God, really? Jeez.
No,
oh, speaking of which, yeah, the connection
for the twist.
The connection there, the director of Treasure of the Sierra Madre is John Huston, who's Angelica Huston's father. He plays the villain in Chinatown. I didn't even realize that connection at the time, but director and actor. But yeah, he plays, what's his character in Chinatown? Noah Cross. He's kind of this old, rich, corrupt dude. But yeah, he's got a secret that you're like, what the fuck? You know, not a fun, happy secret, but yeah. Anyway, worth checking out. Chinatown.
I think most people are familiar with the secret in Chinatown. But.
Oh, are they? Yeah, I don't know. I didn't know, but yeah, that's fucked up.
I mean, it's a pretty well known movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but I made shit, man. There's there's a long list of classics where I don't know the. Mm-hmm. I'm not gonna act like I'm a cinephile. I watched Chinatown for the first time less than 10 years ago.
So, I'd love to know what movie you were talking about that your roommate used to watch weekly, 3 hours.
Oh, I'll find it right now. Who did 2001?
Stanley Kubrick.
I think it was one of his.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on, I'll find it right now. Barry Lyndon.
Barry Lyndon. Yeah, I haven't seen that one.
I'm not going to watch it. 3 hours and 23 minutes of a period piece.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do it.
Yeah, that one hasn't enticed me. I kind of want to see Doctor Strangelove. I went through a little Kubrick kick recently and watched
a lot of
stuff.
No, I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying I'm not going to watch it.
Yeah. Period pieces can often be hard to digest.
No, it's like, oh, Barry Lyndon looks naturalistic, which is the effect Kubrick wanted. They didn't have electricity in the time period, so the nights were lit by candles or moonlight. Did they have fucking movie cameras? And the days were not lit because no light source could compete with the sun. Like, this is the kind of shit where I'm like, did they have seamstresses? Did they have makeup artists? Like, how, like, all right, whatever. I mean, a cinematic masterpiece. Enjoy it, everybody. What do I know?
Speaking of Kubrick, did I ever tell you that when I was a cop, I pulled over R. Lee Ermey, star of Full Metal Jacket?
Really?
Yeah, he was driving a white Lexus. He was speeding. He was very nice, very polite. And once I got his ID, I was like, holy shit. It's like, how you doing, Mr. Ermey? He was like, Bert. He was real nice. I was like, I just gave him a verbal warning. Hey, I just kind of slow it down. He was like, oh, I appreciate it. Thanks for your service, young man. He called me young man. I thought he was going to tell me to get my fat body on the floor and do some push-ups or something.
Honestly, like, he's probably the kind of guy who could do that to a cop, and you'd be happy to hear
it. Yeah, I would have done it, yeah. Yeah,
it's like getting a chest slap from your favorite wrestler, you know?
Yeah. Call me a scumbag, please. Yeah. Just once. But, Yeah, that was. I had a few celebrity encounters. He was probably the most polite of any of the celebrities I pulled over. Can't say the same for Mary J. Blige. She was a real jackass to me. I'm not going to use a gendered insult, but boy, she was
really
happy. Look, ma'am, it's not my fault. Your tag's expired by 2 months. Okay, not my fault. I got to pay my taxes. You got to pay your taxes. Come on.
What was her car? What was Mary J. Blige driving?
Driving a baby blue Jaguar.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she was not happy to see me.
If you want an eye catching vehicle, you better make sure them tags are paid up.
Mm-hmm. That's right, man. Yeah, before we leave, where are you at this weekend, buddy?
This weekend, April 14th, I'm in Olympia, Washington, and April 15th, I'm in Chehalis, Washington. I'll be with Sam Miller, who's very funny. April 21st and 22nd, Hood River, Oregon. Then I got Roseburg, Oregon. Then I got Salem, Oregon. But then, beginning of May, back out there. Bell House in Brooklyn on May 4th. Two shows, White Eagle Hall, May 5th. And the weekend after that, Vermont Comedy Club.
There you go.
So I'm out there. New England in May, baby.
Busy boy. I got nothing till June 2nd and 3rd. You can catch me in Fort Collins, Colorado at the Comedy Fort. Looking forward to that.
Ooh, good call.
Special dropping May 5th. May 5th on YouTube, Pack of Lunch. And right now, the limited edition 2LP on colored splatter vinyl available for pre-order at blondemedicine.com, and I think those things are moving fairly quick, so go ahead and pre-order one of those. They will ship in August, so we want your money now, and we're going to hang on to that for a few months.
Ponzi scheme.
Then we'll send you a nice LP for your collection. So
I love it, man. The clips look great.
Oh, thanks, buddy. Thanks, man. Just trying to throw my hat in the ring there, you know? No crowd work on this special, so sorry for people who are looking for that.
No crowd work's going to be the new branding of approval.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I say that at the beginning of the show when people were sitting down in Melbourne. Like, they have, like, somebody's like, well, come on in. You could sit in the front. I'd, like, peek out. I'm like, I will not talk to you, so please don't feel free to sit in the front. My comedy shows are safe spaces. Ooh, trigger words. Let's own the, not the libs, the other ones. Let's own the, whatever, fuck. All right. Yep, that's it. Dates on KyleKinane.com.
Right on, man. DumbDaveStone.com. Yeah, like I said, BlondeMedicine.com if you want to pre-order that vinyl. So get on that. All right, buddy. We'll talk to you next week.
The Boogie Monster. We'll be right back.